بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 9th of October in the year 2020 alhamdulillah the last two sessions I've been mentioning the incredible rights and also the virtues of serving one's parents. So with regards to the family, daughters are also priceless. In Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 286, Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not be averse to daughters, for they are precious treasures that comfort your heart. SubhanAllah. Do not be averse to daughters, for they are precious treasures that comfort your heart. So you got to understand that this was in the Jahiliyyah. The Prophet was addressing the Jahiliyyah Arabs. And to them, daughters were worthless. And even in the West, if you look at Christianity, they were even discussing whether women had souls. Right, astaghfirullah. And they were given the right to vote maybe a century ago. And 1,400 years ago, look what the Prophet saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not be averse to daughters. In other words, don't find anything in your heart against them. Then he said something very interesting. There are precious treasures that comfort your heart. Meaning that they are priceless. And they give you so much sakina. And it's true. If you're blessed with daughters, they give you that comfort. You might have had a stressful day, but when you look at your daughter, you get comfort. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he describes them as precious treasures. Think about that. Indeed, in Tirmidhi number 1162, Ibn Majah, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in as-sahihah number 284. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, they both heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the most excellent of you is the most excellent to their women in character. SubhanAllah. The most excellent of you is the most excellent to their women in character. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith. So the Prophet again highlighting the status of women, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the most excellent of you, meaning the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who is the most excellent to who? To the females. So this goes all the way to your mothers, to your wives, to your daughters, and of course, females per se. And the way you treat them, that's how you are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You treat them with contempt, you're contemptible in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You honor them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you. And also with daughters, in Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunnah, our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a daughter is born, the angels come. And the angels, alayhi salatu wa sallam, say, a weak one born to another weak one. And then they make a dua. Because may Allah the Almighty look after the one who looks after her. And they say the opposite to the nearest meaning. So there's a ceremony that takes place upon the birth of daughters. And there's no ceremony for sons. Think about that. You're blessed with a son. And the only ceremony you get is from the people. Oh, Mubarak, Mubarak. You're blessed with a son. Daughter comes, they go, well, you know, mashallah, may Allah. You know, the way they talk is like somebody's died. It's may Allah, you know, next time, inshallah. Next time. Next time what? So Lord, the Sharia is teaching you that the females, they're the ones who are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Muhammad Aman Al-Jami, rahmatullah alayh, in his work, The Structure of the Muslim Family, page 29 of the English translation, he commented upon this hadith. He said, whoever has a despicable character, little dignity, and no mercy, then this will appear in his dealings with those who are weak. Rather, treating the weak unjustly is the way of the weak. If they truly had a strong, tough character, then they would not treat those deserving of mercy harshly. That is why whoever controls himself when interacting with the weak, then their excellence is evident. Mubarak Furi rahmatullah alayh in his Tuhfat al-Ahwadi 4-273, when explaining the last words of the hadith, he said, the women deserve to be shown mercy because of their weakness. So this is a commentary of that hadith. Which hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most excellent of you is the most excellent to their women in character. So why is that? Because women are physically weaker than you, 99% of the times. They're physically weaker. And it's easy for you to, you know, show your strength. But look what the shuyukh say. If you have little character, no mercy, you will show that to those who are weak. Isn't that interesting? But if you treat the weak with compassion, that means you are excellent. So where is the first port of call? The females. Right? Showing mercy to them, Allah Ta'ala, you know, He loves that. Thus, it is essential that we have these qualities. This is why there's a hadith. The hadith is in Tabarani. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I hate that servant whose eyes are red and his jugular vein is out and he's about to strike his wife. Because I hate that person. So think about that. He didn't even go into the details. He didn't say, well, if it's justified and if it's this and if it's that. He just said, I don't want to see that scene where a husband is about to strike his wife with anger. Because I don't like that. Why? Because the woman is weak. You know, where's the strength in that? If you look at Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu, he used to play with his son. And sometimes he'd be on the floor on all fours and his son would be on top of him, treating him like a kind of a horse. So one of the companions saw him, he goes, don't you feel embarrassed, Amir al-Mu'mineen? The son on top of you like that? He goes, what will people think? He said, only those with weakness do not show weakness to those who are weak. Look how beautiful that is. In other words, he's saying, he's a kid, he's my son. He goes, it's very easy to be dominant over him because I like to play with him, he's my son. So note, and this is another mentality, and it's a cultural thing. You know, they go, you know, we even praise people for this. When you walk into the house, how does the family react? He goes, oh. He goes, time stops, even the clock stops, right? And then he goes, oh, they start tapping you on back. Right? They go, oh, you truly are, you know, the great one, right? That's a tyrant. The hadith mentions that when you enter the dwelling from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's exactly what happens. The woman becomes quiet, the children start playing. Allah Ta'ala hates that man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But if you enter the house and they get happy, children start getting happy, the wife, he goes, Allah Ta'ala loves that man. So which sharia is this? And we're propagating this jahiliyyah, imagine. Even to this day, you do a little survey, well, which one sunnat? The first one, when clock stops, right? And you go, even Umar radiallahu anhu. You can say, well, the Prophet was soft, he had the softest heart. Well, then what about Umar? Was he soft, radiallahu anhu? Shaitan would go to the other path. And what did he do in his dwelling? His man, his wife, you know, started, because they've got that you know, sharpness of tongue. And he couldn't take it. But he was wise, he didn't strike his wife, he just ran out of the house. And he goes to Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he goes, right, I'm going to tell Umar about my wife and he's going to give me the advice. When he gets near to the house, he hears his wife giving him grief. So then he thought, forget this, because he's got the same problem as me. Right? And then as he's walking away, Umar, for some reason, he looks, he goes, oi, you coming to me? He's Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's okay. He goes, no, he goes, you came for a reason. He goes, you got the same problem as me, because I don't think you can help me. So Umar then smiled. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, she cooks my food. She cleans my clothes. She looks after the house. She looks after the children. She fulfills my need. Shouldn't I overlook? In other words, some of her failings. Because life's too short. In other words, why are you making life miserable for yourself? If your wife is upset with you, who's going to suffer? You! Nobody else is going to suffer. They're still smiling at everybody else. When you walk in next minute, oh God, here we go again. World War III resumes. Right? So all, and look how interesting. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran, you may hate something, but it is good for you. And you may like something, but it's bad for you. Allah Ta'ala knows you do not. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you hate something in your women, in your wife, Remember the good. Right? That's the sunnah. The Prophet is telling you how to. So, in other words, you think, it's Kareem, but I'm going to tell. Then you think, what did the Prophet say? Think of the good. Like Umar was doing. Clean my clothes, looked after my kids. You go, oh, that's just a small thing, forget it. And that's how you got peace in the house. Another man, you know, there's many reports, and this is Umar. Imagine, right? People couldn't even breathe in his presence. And yet, with his wife, she's giving him grief. His wife was once going to pray. And Umar goes, where are you going? She goes, I'm going to pray in the masjid. Are you going to stop me? And Umar didn't say anything. Just looked at her. Kept looking at her. And she walked out. Right? And then somebody asked that, his wife. He goes, does your husband allow you to go to the masjid? And she said, the Prophet allowed it. How is he going to stop me? Now imagine if your wife puts, you know, in the car and everything, and where are you going? You're going nowhere. Sit back and sit down. Shariat. Umar radiallahu, imagine, didn't use that strength against his wife. And the reason he was staring was because he knew that times are going to change. Right? In other words, there's a reason. So note another example. This man was going to divorce his wife. So the wife, Umar radiallahu anhu, goes to the man and he goes, why do you want to divorce your wife? He goes, I don't love it anymore. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, he got his stick, cracked him. He goes, is marriage only on love? What about responsibilities? In other words, she's the mother of your children. So look, and he goes, you just bother about love. And yeah, people make that priority. If I fall out of love, see you later, mate. Couple, 3 teas. Next, get the next model. That's not Shariat. Umar was saying, look, you got to remember, you know, she sacrificed her body for you. Because when women give birth, look how much change their bodies go through. Who's caused that? You. Right? Think about that. So he goes, and this is all part of our deen. Why aren't people talking about it? Because they're comfortable with their jahiliyyah, you know. And yeah, nikah, full sunnah, everything. Well, marriage life as well, brother, is full sunnah as well. The parents should be just with their children. You've got to show justice. Very important. Why? In Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 286-7, Anas radiallahu anhu said, there was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a man whose son came to him. The man thereupon kissed the son and made him sit on his lap. Then his daughter came. He picked her up and he sat her in front of him. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, why did you not treat them equally? Think about that. He showed love to both. Son came, kisses him, makes him sit on his lap. Daughter comes, showed love, made her sit in front. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why didn't you treat them equally? He goes, injustice in my presence. And look at this, is another jahiliyyah. Son comes, you see it. Oh, my putta, he's going to be a mujahid, right? Daughter comes. Next minute, you know, it's like, why did you come? Right? Go to the women folk. So the Prophet is teaching you. Another example, somebody did something with his child in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, if you want them to be just to you, be just with them. The Prophet is teaching you. He goes, it's going to come back, it's going to rebound on you. Their children, you know, if some sons look after you, they say, oh, you're a feasible head, right? And what happens is your fault because you showed more consideration to one over the other. Be just. But there's an exception. The exception is if there's a child that's ill. So obviously, if a child's ill, you know, you got to show more time, more affection because of the illness. But generally, what you're in control of. Then you've got family members. All you need to know is family is fitna. Right? People have got stories. Everyone has got a story to tell. Oh, my uncle, oof, if you had him like Abu Lahab, right? No, not like Abu Lahab. Right? Oh, he's Abu Jahl then, right? Everybody's got them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, family is fitna. But there's a very interesting report. Hafiz Abu Hassan Ali ibn Ma'ruf al-Bazaz in his Juz Fada'il Ahlul Bayt in the last chapter on dutifulness and ties of kinship. Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ahdihlawi in his Bustan al-Muhaddithin, The Gardens of the Hadith Scholars, page 239-40 of the English translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the Bani Israel, there were two kings. They were brothers and they ruled over two lands. So picture the scene, two kings, Bani Israel. and they looked after their lands. One of them was dutiful to his relatives and subjects. The other was not dutiful to his kin and unjust to his subjects. So there was a difference. So one of them looked after his land, but he looked after his family. He fulfilled their rights and the people under him. The other one, whenever he's got time, will do it. There was a prophet in their time, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thus Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed to the prophet that 3 years remained of the life of the dutiful one, whilst 30 years remained of the life of the undutiful one. So what's happened? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gets knowledge that the one who's not looking after his family, he's got 30 years. The one who's looking after his family, he's only got 3. The Prophet revealed this to the people of the land, this knowledge, alayhi salatu wasalam. The subjects of the just king, they were grieved. And also the subjects of the unjust king, they were grieved as well. So think about that. So the just king, they thought, only 3 years, he's such a great king. The unjust one thought, 30 years with this one. Right? So everybody's, upset. Hence, to change the circumstance, they both separated the children from their mothers, took them with them, and also left food and drink to fast, and went to the desert to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change this. They remained in this state for 3 days. So look what they're doing now, very intelligent. Allah ta'ala has mentioned this. So there goes, we're going to change it. So how did they change it? First, they took the children from their mothers, meaning, made the children cry. Secondly, they started fasting. Right, fasting starts. Thirdly, they went to the desert to offer salat. And they were in that state for 3 days. Imagine children crying, fasting, 3 days salat. Allah the Almighty thereupon revealed to his Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to now inform his servants that he has shown mercy to them and answered their du'as. And he's reversed the two kings' lifespans. Hence, the unjust one died now after 3 years instead of 30 years. And the just ruler remained amongst them for 30 years instead of 3. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited the following verse. Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 11. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَا يُؤَمَّرُ مِن مُؤَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ أُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And no living thing lives long or has its life cut short without that being in a book. Indeed, that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 11. So let's look at this. So this is a direct hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the secrets in this hadith. First of all, when a prophet's with you, you're going to get knowledge of the ghaib. There's no doubt. So imagine, just king 3 years, unjust 30, everybody's crying. But they just start crying. And then that's it. You've got to change this. So what was the qadr that can be changed? The qadr that can be changed is the one that's not in Lohim Mahfuz. It's the one that's given to the angels and the humans. So they knew that this wasn't the Lohim Mahfuz. So how did they change it? They changed it by taking the children away from their mother. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala shows kindness, mercy to children. They realize how to get the help of Allah. So then they start to fast and they start to pray. And look what Allah Ta'ala did. Imagine, 27 years he's lost and 27 years he's gained. And then the Prophet recited a verse, meaning this is the meaning of this verse. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? No living thing lives long or has its life cut short. How interesting a verse that is. We say the one or the other. But Allah ta'ala goes, no. No living thing lives long or has its life cut short without that being in a book. That is easy for Allah. So the Prophet was telling you that you can change certain types of qadr. Well, why have I mentioned this in the subject of family? Because dutifulness to his family maybe cost 27 years more. Think about that. Now, just king, he got another 27 years. You could say, well, they were playing for him and this, that. But there's another reason. In Sahih Bukhari, number 5986, Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Abu Dawud ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abu Dawud Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the individual who desires that rizq are increased for him and his life be prolonged, then that individual should maintain good relations with his kin. Look at this report. So where is it recorded? Bukhari and Muslim, no doubt. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Do you desire more rizq? You know, people always banging on about, oh brother, I'm only paying bills off. Keep family ties. Right? Then he goes, well, what's that going to do, brother? That's not going to pay my bills. And the response is, it is. Secondly, not only does it pay your bills, your life gets longer. Think about that. The Prophet said that. You want your life to be longer. People are in Jannah grunting away. Why? You want a longer life. That's what it boils down to. I don't want to die at 60. I want to die at 100. Keep grunting. Right? Just keep family ties. That, obviously not to belittle exercise, right? But, you know, you got an easy way and you got an hard way. You're doing squats, right? Just go and see your cousins. And that will prolong your life. And thirdly, the Prophet told you that. Keep family ties. And why did the Prophet mention these things? Because family is fitna. Shaitan's going to say, oh, you're better off cutting ties. So how do you respond to that? Well, I want more rizq and I want a longer life. So really, I'm going there to benefit myself, not them. Shaitan says, no, you're better off not going. He's lying to you. Think about it. He's a liar, right? And he's telling you that, you're causing harm to yourself. Imagine if you kept your tie with your cousin, you would have got 20 years extra. When you be kicking yourself, 20 years. Well, you know, what do you think? Allah can give you peanuts. Right? So, longer life. And what do you notice? People do have long lives. And look at the elders. We call them elders for a reason. Why did they live long lives? Every one of them knew each other. Nah, it's like, I don't even know my uncle. And you think, oh my God, here we go. Sudden death's going to attack. Hafiz Aini, he commented upon this hadith in Umdatul Qari. Meaning, if the person maintains good ties with his relatives, then the age will increase by a certain number of years. Indeed, if the person maintains ties with even more relatives, then this age will increase by a greater number of years, and so on. But then he goes, there's another possibility. The individual will die at their normal age. However, even after dying, due to maintenance of good ties with the people, the people will continue praising the individual even after their death. Thus, in essence, their name will continue to live on and they will be respected among society. Subhanallah. This is commentary. So Hafiz Aini, who wrote the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, Umdatul Qari, the great Hanafi Sheikh, he goes, there's two meanings here. One meaning is you get more life. So instead of dropping dead at 60, you get 90. That's one meaning. The other meaning is, no, you're going to drop dead at 60. Still, that don't change. But after you die, people are still going to talk about you with honor. Oh, he's so-and-so's son. Oh, is he? Oh, the next minute, look at that one. How interesting that is. What's going on there? He goes, and you will be respected. And why is that a big blessing? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala accepts the testimonies of us. He says, I know him better than you, but I accept your testimony. And what's interesting, some elders, nobody talks about, but others, they all talk about him. Oh, yeah. And then you think, maybe he kept ties. Maybe Allah is the one giving him this honor now. And finally, if one has the means, one should strive to get married. For our beloved messenger had warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, number 7386, the inmates of the hellfire are five. Firstly, the weak who refuse to exert their willpower, i.e. to prevent themselves from committing sins, whilst pursuing, i.e. the prohibited with greed. Yet they do not search for a lawful partner for life and lawful wealth. And the hadith continues, but this is the relevant part. So in Sahih Muslim, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Five types of people will go to hell. The first one, and look how he described it, the weak who refuse to exert their will. They pursue greedily the unlawful, yet they do not search for a lawful partner for life and for lawful wealth. Who's he talking about? This is the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, he's fulfilling his urges unlawfully. And he's happy with that. The Prophet goes, he's a weak person. He's not intelligent. He's a weak person. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's very interesting hadith. He goes, why don't you do an intelligent thing? He said to a sahaba. He goes, ya Rasulullah, what's that? He goes, go and have intercourse with your wife. Right? He goes, do an intelligent thing. So look how interesting. When you have intercourse with your wife, the Prophet goes, you're very intelligent. Very intelligent. But if you fulfill your desires unlawfully, he goes, weak. Weak person. Because this is going on with his weakness. Astaghfirullah. It was for this reason that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Hasan, Sahih, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Hakim, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Kathir, Tafsir. There are three whom it is a right upon Allah to help. Firstly, one who gets married seeking chastity. The second is a slave for freedom. And the third, a warrior in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the first person? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have a right. Imagine, if somebody goes to you, my haq, what does that mean? You have to fulfill it. Neighbors have got rights. Parents have got rights. Pets have got rights. Guess what? You can say, ya Allah, I've got a right from you. Look how strange that is. What do you mean? You can't say that. Why can't I say that? I've got a right. You can say to Rabbul Alameen, ya Allah, I want you to fulfill my right. And whose right is it that he helps? The one who wants to get married, but the condition is seeking purity. He's thinking, look, I've got to get out of this haram. Right? And then you can say, ya Allah, fulfill. And he's going to fulfill that right. But people don't know how to ask. They ask every Tom, Dick and Harry, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The second, obviously, the slave who wants to be free. And the third is the mujahid. And lastly, our beloved messenger also said, very interesting hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marry women because they bring wealth. Marry women because they bring wealth. This is in Bazaar, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih. Now, what's strange? Can't get married, brother. Why? Can't afford it. And then you go, why can't you afford it? Because it costs 20 grand. What costs 20 grand? Kajur, right? Then he goes, no, I've got to give a gold bar as dowry. Stop there. What's this gold bar business? I've got to hire a hauler. I've got to get servants, professional servants. Well, that's your problem, mate. You know, you put it on yourself. You actually say to them, guess what? If you get married, you will be given wealth. And isn't it true? Think about it. Think of any married person before he's married and after he's married. Next minute, you think, alhamdulillah, money's coming in. Where is money coming from? Right? The most interesting is they even give you money. Because you're married. Yeah, okay. You get pesa, even if you're not working. You've got kids as well. Oh, get family allowance on top of it. They've cut it down to two now. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right? But this reality is confirmed in the Quran. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Surah Al-Nur, Surah 24, verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Iyakunu fuqara'a yughnihumullahu min fadlih. If they are in poverty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich them out of his grace. Clear verse in the Quran, Surah 24, verse 32. If they are in poverty, imagine, Atlas, if you're poor, you're on the scrap heap, you get married, I will give you wealth. I will give you out of my grace. Fadl is grace, you don't deserve it. Look, there's a secret in this verse. Allah has given you fadl, meaning he likes that when you get married. Because I'll give him a wedding gift. Right? So note, marriage is also part of our sunnah. Some scholars say it's wajib, some say it's sunnah muakkidah, some say it's, you know, it's recommended. And there's no contradiction depending upon the scenario. Right? Some of our great imams didn't get married. Hafiz ibn Jarir al-Tabari did not get married. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah didn't get married. And why? Because they literally didn't have time, because we can't fulfill the rights of our wives. Basically, we're married to the deen. But the scholars quickly point out, they're very few and rare ones. They're rare. Imam Nawawi didn't get married. Imagine that one. Imam Nawawi, he died at 46, younger than me. Look at his legacy, right? Rahmatullah. Once some guests came to him, and there was nowhere to sit. He had to move his books. He goes, forgive me, and he's moving his books. And he goes, well, you know, I've got to look after my guests. He's married to his books. Imam Nawawi. And then you get some saying, oh, I'm going to follow these great scholars. What was your legacy, brother? Right, a couple of pamphlets down in town. Right, what's your legacy? Right, these are rare people. And of course, one brother, I won't mention his name, he said to his father, Rahmatullah Ali, his imam, no, we didn't get married. Father says, what about Rasulullah? What about Rasulullah? Ibn Abbas was asked about marriage in Sahih Bukhari. And Ibn Abbas said, the best of us got married the most. Rasulullah. Are you more God fearing than him? You got married more than four. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala allowed him more. He had nine wives when he fasted. And we ask our loving Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to guide us in all our affairs. So all I mentioned today was a wrapped up on the section with regards to family members. And not, it's an endless subject, but Alhamdulillah, we've been given guidance by Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واذب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل الحق ونواصل الصبر سلام عليكم